food is good, but then it always is at my parents' place. I have never been hungry here. I'm startled by the direction of my thoughts, and I'm glad when Lance, my mother's friend from college, engages me in a conversation about what GEH is developing. I'm acutely aware of Anna's eyes on me as Lance and I debate the economics of technology in the developing world.
You can't just give this technology away, Lance scoffs.
Why not? Ultimately, whose benefit is it for? As human beings, we all have to share finite space and resources on this planet. The smarter we are, the more efficiently we'll use them.
Democratizing tech is not what I'd expect from someone like you.
Lance laughs. Dude, you don't know me very well. Lance is engaging enough, but I'm distracted by the beautiful Miss Steele. She moves beside me as she listens to our conversation, and I know the Kegel balls are having the desired effect. Perhaps we should go to the boathouse. My conversation with Lance is interrupted a few times by various business associates offering a handshake and the odd anecdote. I don't know if they're checking out Anna or trying to ingratiate themselves with me. By the time dessert is served, I'm ready to leave.
If you'll excuse me,
Anna says suddenly, breathless, and I know she's had enough. Do you need the powder room? I ask. She nods, and in her eyes I see a desperate plea. I'll show you, I offer. She stands and I start to get up, but Mia stands too.
No, Christian, you're not taking Anna, I will.
And before I can say anything, she grabs Anna's hand. Anna gives me an apologetic shrug and follows Mia out of the pavilion. Taylor signals that he's on it and trails behind them both. I'm sure Anna is unaware of her shadow. Fuck, I wanted to go with her. My grandmother leans in to talk to me.
She's delightful.
I know.
You look happy, dear.
Do I? I thought I was sulking at a missed opportunity.
I don't think I've ever seen you so relaxed.
She pats my hand. It's an affectionate gesture, and for once, I don't withdraw from her touch.
Happy?
Me? I test the word to see if it fits, and an unexpected warmth flares in my gut. Yes. She makes me happy. It's a new feeling. I've never described myself in those terms. I smile at my grandmother and squeeze her hand.
I think you're right, grandmother.
Her eyes twinkle and she squeezes mine back.
You should bring her to the farm.
I should. I think she'd like that. Mia and Anna return to the pavilion, giggling. It's a pleasure to watch them together and to witness my whole family embrace my girl. Even my grandmother has concluded that Anna makes me happy. She's not wrong. As Anna takes her seat, she gives me a swift, carnal look. Ah. I mask my smile. I want to ask if she's still wearing the Kegel balls, but I presume she's removed them. She's done well to wear them this long. Taking Anna's hand in mine, I give her a list of auction prizes. I think Anna will enjoy this part of the evening. Seattle's elite flashing their cash.
You own property in Aspen?
She asks, and everyone at the table turns to look at her. I nod and put my finger to my lips.
Do you have property elsewhere?
She whispers. I nod, but I don't want to disturb everyone at the table with conversation. This is the part of the evening when we raise a sizable sum for the charity. As everyone applauds a sale price of $12,000 for a signed Mariners baseball bat, I lean over and say, I'll tell you later. She licks her lips and my earlier frustration returns.
I wanted to come with you.
She shoots me a quick, aggrieved look, which I think means that she's of the same mind, but she settles down to listen to the bidding. I watch her get caught up in the excitement of the auction, turning her head to see who's bidding on what and applauding at the conclusion of each lot.
And up next is a weekend stay in Aspen, Colorado. What are my starting bids, ladies and gentlemen, for this generous prize courtesy of Mr. Christian Gray?
There's a smattering of applause and the master of ceremonies continues.
Do I hear $5,000?
The bidding begins. I contemplate taking Anna to Aspen. I don't even know if she skis. The thought of her on skis is unsettling. She's not a coordinated dancer, so she might be a disaster on the slopes. I wouldn't want her to get hurt.
$20,000, we are bid. Going once, going twice. The MC calls. Anna puts her hand up and calls.
$24,000.
And it's like she's kicked me in the solar plexus. What the fuck? $24,000 to the lovely lady in silver. Going once, going twice. Sold. The master of ceremonies declares, to rapturous applause. Everyone at our table gapes at her while my anger spirals out of control. That money was for her. Taking a deep breath, I lean forward and kiss her cheek. I don't know whether to worship at your feet or spank the living shit out of you, I hiss in her ear.
I'll take option two, please,
she says quickly, breathlessly.
What?
For a moment, I am confused, and then I realize the Kegel balls have done their work. She's needy, really needy, and my anger is forgotten.
Suffering, are you?
I whisper. We'll have to see what we can do about that. I run my fingers along her jaw. Make her wait, Gray. That should be punishment enough. Or perhaps we could prolong the agony. A wicked thought comes to mind. She wriggles beside me as my family congratulates her on her win. I drape my arm over her chair and begin to stroke her naked back with my thumb. With my other hand, I take hers and kiss her palm, then rest her hand on my thigh. Slowly, I ease her hand up my thigh until her fingers are resting on my erection. I hear her gasp, and from beneath her mask, her shocked eyes meet mine. I will never tire of shocking sweet Anna. As the auction continues, my family returns their attention to the next prize. Anna, emboldened, no doubt, by her need, surprises me and starts to caress me through my pants. Hell. I keep my hand over hers so no one will be the wiser as she fondles me and I continue to stroke her neck. My pants are becoming uncomfortable. She's turned the tables on you, Gray. Again. Sold for $110,000, the MC declares, bringing me back into the room. The prize is a week in my parents' place in Montana, and it's a colossal amount of money. The whole room erupts with cheers and applause, and Anna takes her hands off me and joins in the clapping.
Damn.
Reluctantly, I applaud too, and now that the auction is over, I plan to give Anna a tour of the house.
Ready? I mouth to her.
Yes, she says, her eyes shining through her mask.
Anna, Mia says, it's time.
Anna looks confused.
Time for what? The first dance auction, come on.
Mia stands and holds out her hand.
Fucking hell,
my annoying little sister. I glower at Mia, cockblocker extraordinaire. Anna looks at me and starts to giggle. It's infectious. I stand, grateful for my jacket. The first dance will be with me, okay? And it won't be on the dance floor. I murmur against the pulse beneath her ear.
I look forward to it.
She kisses me in full view of everyone. I grin and then notice that the entire table is staring at us.
Yes, people. I have a girlfriend. Get used to it.
They, as one, look away, embarrassed to be caught gawking.
Come on, Anna.
Mia is persistent and leads Anna toward the small stage where several women are assembled.
Gentlemen, the highlight of the evening.
The MC booms over the PA system and the excited hum of the crowd.
The moment you've all been waiting for, these 12 lovely ladies have all agreed to auction their first dance to the highest bidder.
Anna is uncomfortable. She looks down at the ground, then at her knotted fingers. She looks anywhere but at the group of young men approaching the stage.
Now, gentlemen, pray gather around and take a good look at what could be yours for the first dance. 12 comely and compliant wenches.
When did Mia get Anna involved in this fucking charade? It's a meat market. I know it's for a good cause, but still. The MC announces the first young woman, giving her a hyperbolic introduction. Her name is Jada, and her first dance is quickly sold off for $5,000.
Mia and Anna are talking. Anna looks engaged in what Mia is saying. Shit. What is Mia telling her? Mariah is up for sale next. She seems embarrassed by the MC's introduction, and I don't blame her. Mia and Anna continue to talk, and I know it's about me. For fuck's sake, Mia, shut up. Mariah's first dance is sold for $4,000. Anna glances at me, then back at Mia, who appears to be in full flow. Jill is up next, and her first dance is sold for $4,000. Anna stares at me, and I see her eyes glitter inside her mask, but I have no idea what she's thinking. Shit. What did Mia say? And now, allow me to introduce the beautiful Anna. Mia ushers Anna to the center of the stage, and I make my way to the front of the crowd. Anna does not like to be the center of attention. Damn Mia for making her do this. But Anastasia is beautiful. The MC makes another overblown and ridiculous introduction. Beautiful Anna plays 6 musical instruments, speaks fluent Mandarin, and is keen on yoga. Well, gentlemen, enough. $10,000, I shout. 15. There's a call from some random guy. What the hell? I turn to look at who is bidding on my girl, and it's Flynn, the expensive charlatan, as Anna calls him. I'd recognize his gait anywhere. He gives me a polite nod. Well, gentlemen, we have high rollers in the house this evening, the MC announces to the assembled patrons. What is Flynn's game? How far does he want to take this? The chatter in the pavilion dies as the crowd watches us and waits to hear my reaction. 20, I offer, my voice low. 25, counters Flynn. Anna looks anxiously from me to Flynn. She's mortified, and frankly, so am I. I've had enough of whatever game Flynn is playing. $100,000, I call, so that the entire audience can hear me. What the fuck? One of the women behind Anna calls out, and I hear gasps from people in the crowd around me. Come on, John. I give Flynn a level stare, and he laughs and graciously holds up both his hands. He's done. $100,000 for the lovely Anna. Going once. Going twice. The MC invites Flynn to bid again, but he shakes his head and bows. Sold! The MC cries out triumphantly, and the applause and cheering are deafening. I step forward and hold out my hand to Anna. I've won, my girl. She beams at me with relief when she places her hand in mine. I help her down from the stage and kiss the back of her hand, then tuck it under my arm. We make our way to the exit of the pavilion, ignoring the catcalls and the shouts of congratulations. Who is that? She asks. Someone you can meet later. Right now, I want to show you something. We have about 20 minutes until the first dance auction finishes. Then we have to be back on the dance floor so that I can enjoy that dance I've paid for. A very expensive dance, she observes dryly. I'm sure it'll be worth every single cent. At last, I have her. Mia is still on the stage and unable to stop me now. I guide Anna across the lawn toward the dance floor, aware that two of the close protection guys are tailing us. The sounds of revelry fade behind us as I take her through the French doors that lead into the sitting room. I leave the doors open so the guys can follow us. From there, we head into the hall and up 2 flights of stairs to my childhood bedroom. It will be another first. Inside, I lock the door. Security can wait outside. This was my room. Anna stands in the center, drinking it all in. My posters, my bulletin board, everything. Her eyes scan it all, then settle on me. I've never brought a girl in here.
Never?
I shake my head. There's an adolescent thrill running through me. A girl in my room. What would my mom say? Anna's lips part in invitation. Her eyes are dark beneath her mask, and they don't leave mine. I saunter over to her. We don't have long, Anastasia, and the way I'm feeling right this moment, we won't need long. Turn around. Let me get you out of that dress. She spins around immediately. Keep the mask on. I whisper in her ear. She groans, and I haven't even touched her. I know that she'll be craving relief after wearing the kegel balls for so long. I unzip her dress and help her out of it. I step back, drape it over a chair, and remove my jacket. She's wearing the corset, and thigh highs, and heels, and the mask. She's driven me to distraction during dinner. You know, Anastasia, I move toward her, undoing my bow tie and then the shirt buttons at the collar. I was so mad when you bought my auction lot. All manner of ideas ran through my head. I had to remind myself that punishment is off the menu. But then you volunteered. Standing close, I stare down at her. Why did you do that? I need to know.
Volunteer?
Her voice is husky, revealing her desire.
I don't know. Frustration? Too much alcohol? Worthy cause?
She shrugs, and her eyes move to my mouth. I vowed to myself I would not spank you again, even if you begged me.
Please.
But then I realized you're probably very uncomfortable at the moment, and it's not something you're used to.
Yes,
she answers, breathy and sexy and pleased, I think, that I know how she feels. So there might be a certain latitude. If I do this, you must promise me one thing.
Anything.
You will safe word if you need to, and I will just make love to you. Okay. She agrees readily. I lead her to the bed, throw the comforter aside, and sit down as she stands before me in her mask and corset. She looks sensational. I grab a pillow and place it beside me. Taking her hand, I tug so that she falls across my lap, her chest on the pillow. I sweep her hair off her face and the mask. There. She looks glorious. Now to spice this up. Put your hands behind your back. She scrambles to do my bidding and squirms on top of me. Eager. I like that. I tie her wrist with my tie. She's helpless. In my power. It's exhilarating. You really want this, Anastasia?
Yes,
she stresses, clarifying her need. But I still don't get it. I thought all this was off the table. Why? I ask as I caress her behind.
Do I need a reason?
No, baby, you don't. I'm just trying to understand you. Be in the moment, Gray. She wants this, and so do you. I stroke her ass once more, preparing myself, preparing her. Leaning over, I hold her down with my left hand, and I smack her once with the other, just at the junction of her fine, fine ass and her thighs. She moans an incoherent word. It's not a safe word. I smack her again. 2. We'll go with 12. I start counting. I smooth her behind and spank her twice, once on each cheek, and I pull off her lacy panties, trailing them down her thighs, her knees, her calves, and over her Louboutins, where I discard them on the floor. It's arousing. In every way. Noting she's no longer wearing the kegel balls, I spank her again, numbering each blow. She groans and writhes across my knees, her eyes shut beneath her mask. Her ass is a lovely shade of pink. 12, I whisper when I'm done. I caress her glowing ass and sink 2 fingers into her. She's wet. So fucking wet. So ready. She moans as I rotate my fingers inside her, and she comes loudly, frantically around them. Wow, that's quick. She's such a sensual creature. That's right, baby, I murmur, and I untie her wrists. She's panting, trying to catch her breath. I've not finished with you yet, Anastasia. I'm now uncomfortable. I want her. Badly. Lowering her so that her knees touch the floor, I kneel behind her. I undo my zipper and yank down my underwear, freeing my eager erection. From my pants pocket, I extract a condom and pull my fingers out of my girl. She whimpers. I wrap my cock in latex. Open your legs. She complies and I ease into her. This is going to be quick, baby, I whisper. I hold her hips and slowly pull out of her, then I slam into her. She cries out, with joy, with abandon, with ecstasy. This is what she wants, and I'm only too happy to oblige. I thrust and thrust, and then she's meeting me, thrusting back. Shit. This is going to be even quicker than I thought. Anna, no, I warn. I want to prolong her pleasure. But she's a greedy girl, and she takes all she can. A voracious counterpoint to me. Anna, shit! It's a strangled cry as I come, and it sets her off. She screams as her orgasm rips through her, pulling on me as I sink onto her. Man, that was good. I'm spent. After all the teasing and the anticipation during that meal, this was inevitable. I kiss her shoulder and pull out of her and remove the condom, tossing it into the wastebasket by the bed. That will give my mother's housekeeper something to think about. Anna's still in her mask, panting, smiling. She looks satiated. I kneel over her, resting my forehead on her back as we both find our equilibrium. Mmm. I murmur in satisfaction and plant a kiss on her flawless back. I believe you owe me a dance, Miss Steele. She hums a contented response from somewhere deep in her throat. I sit back and pull her onto my lap. We don't have long. Come on. I kiss her hair. She moves off my lap and sits on the bed, beginning to dress as I do up my shirt and redo my bow tie. Anna gets up and walks over to where I've placed her dress. Wearing only her mask, corset, and shoes, she embodies sensuality. I knew she was a goddess, but this... she's beyond all my expectations. I love her. I turn away, feeling suddenly vulnerable, and straighten the comforter on my bed. The uneasy feeling ebbs like a receding tide as I finish and see Anna examining the photographs on my bulletin board. There are many, from all over the world. My parents were fond of a foreign vacation.
Who's this?
Anna asks, pointing to an old black-and-white photograph of a crack whore. No one of consequence. I slip on my jacket and straighten my mask. I'd forgotten about that picture. Carrick gave it to me when I was 16. I'd tried several times to throw it away, but I could never quite bring myself to dispose of it.
Son, I have something for you.
What? I'm in Carrick's study, expecting a dressing down, but for what, I don't know. I hope he hasn't found out about Mrs. Lincoln.
You seem calmer, more collected, more yourself these days.
I nod, hoping that my expression gives nothing away.
I was going through some old files, and I found this.
He hands me a black-and-white photograph of a sad young woman. It's like a gut punch. The crack whore. He studies my reaction.
We were given this at the time of the adoption.
Oh, I managed to say through my closing throat.
I thought you might want to see it. Do you recognize her?
Yes. I squeeze the word out. He nods, and I know he has something else to say. What more does he have?
I don't have any information on your biological father. By all accounts, he wasn't part of your mother's life in any way.
He's trying to tell me something. It wasn't her fucking pimp?
Please tell me it wasn't him. If you want to know anything else, I'm here.
That man?
I whisper. No, nothing to do with you, my dad says, to reassure me.
I close my eyes. Think fuck, think fuck, think fuck. Is that all, Dad? Can I go?
Of course.
Dad looks troubled, but he nods. Clutching the photo, I leave his office. And I run, 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 run. The crack whore was a sad and pathetic creature. She looks every bit the victim in this old black and white. I think it's a police mugshot, but with the numbers cut off. I wonder if things would have ended up differently for her if my parents' charity had existed then. I shake my head. I don't want to talk about her with Anna. Shall I zip you up? I ask, to change the subject.
Please,
Anna says, and turns her back to me so I can zip up her dress.
Then why is she on your bulletin board?
Anastasia Steele, you have an answer and a question for everything. An oversight on my part. How's my tie? She examines my tie and her eyes soften. She reaches up and straightens it, pulling on both ends.
Now it's perfect, she says.
Like you. I fold her in my arms and kiss her. Feeling better?
Much, thank you, Mr. Gray.
The pleasure was all mine, Miss Steele. I'm feeling grateful, content. I hold out my hand and she takes it with a shy but satisfied grin. I unlock the door and we head downstairs and back out to the gardens. I don't know at which point our security joins us, but they follow us onto the terrace through the sitting room's French doors. A few smokers are gathered there, puffing away, and they watch us with interest, but I ignore them and lead Anna toward the dance floor. The MC announces,
"And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the first dance. Mr. and Dr. Gray, are you ready?"
Carrick nods, my mother in his arms.
"Ladies and gentlemen of the first dance auction, are you ready?"
I circle Anna's waist and peer down at her, and she grins.
"Then we shall begin," the MC declares with gusto. "Take it away, Sam."
The bandleader bounds across the stage, turns to the band, and snaps his fingers, and the band begins a cheesy version of "I've Got You Under My Skin." I pull Anna close as we start to dance, and she falls easily into step with me. She's captivating as I twirl her around the dance floor, and we grin at each other like the lovesick fools we are. Have I ever felt like this? Buoyant? Happy? Master of the fucking universe. "I love this song," I tell her. "Seems very fitting."
"You're under my skin, too. Or you were in your bedroom."
"Anna, I'm shocked. Miss Steele, I had no idea you could be so crude."
"Mr. Gray, neither did I. I think it's all my recent experiences," she says with a mischievous smile. "They've been an education.
For both of us." I take her for a spin around the dance floor once more. The song finishes, and reluctantly I release her to applaud.
"May I cut in?"
Flynn asks, appearing from nowhere. He has some explaining to do after the charade at the auction, but I step aside.
"Be my guest. Anastasia, this is John Flynn. John, Anastasia."
Anna shoots me a nervous look, and I retreat to the sidelines to watch. Flynn opens his arms, and Anna takes his hand as the band strikes up, "They Can't Take That Away From Me." Anna is animated in John's arms. I wonder what they are talking about. Me? Shit. My anxiety returns in full force. I have to face the reality that once Anna knows all my secrets, she'll leave, and that trying things her way is just prolonging the inevitable. But John wouldn't be so indiscreet, surely.
"Hello, darling,"
Grace says, interrupting my dark thoughts. "Mother?"
"Are you enjoying yourself?"
She's also watching Anna and John.
"Very much."
Grace has taken off her mask.
"What a generous donation from your young friend,"
she says, but there's a slight edge to her voice.
"Yes," I respond dryly.
"I thought she was a student."
"Mom, it's a long story."
"I figured as much."
Something is off. "What is it, Grace? Spit it out." She tentatively reaches out to touch my arm.
"You look happy, darling."
"I am."
"I think she's good for you."
"I think so, too."
"I hope she doesn't hurt you."
"Why would you say that?"
"She's young. Mother, what are you..."
A female guest wearing the most garish gown I've ever seen approaches Grace.
"Christian, this is my friend Pamela from book club."
We exchange pleasantries, but I want to grill my mother. What the hell is she trying to imply about Anna? The music is coming to an end, and I know I need to rescue Anastasia from my psychiatrist. This conversation isn't over. I warn Grace and head over to where Anna and John have stopped dancing. What is my mother trying to tell me? It's been a pleasure to meet you, Anastasia, Flynn says to Anna. John, I nod in greeting. Christian. Flynn acknowledges me and excuses himself, to find his wife, no doubt. I'm confounded by the exchange I've just had with my mother. I sweep Anna into my arms for the next dance.
He's much younger than I expected, Anna says. And terribly indiscreet.
Fuck. Indiscreet?
Oh yes, he told me everything.
She discloses. Shit, did he really do this? I test Anna to see how much damage he's done. Well, in that case, I'll get your bag. I'm sure you want nothing more to do with me. Anna stops dancing.
He didn't tell me anything,
she exclaims, and I think she wants to shake me. Oh, thank God. I place my hand on the small of her back as the band launches into the very thought of you. Then let's enjoy this dance. And I'm an idiot. Of course Flynn wouldn't break any professional confidences. And as Anna matches me step for step, my spirit soars and my anxiety dissipates. I had no idea I could enjoy dancing so much. It amazes me how poised Anna is tonight on the dance floor, and for a moment I'm back in the apartment after our first night together, watching her doing a little jig with her headphones on. She was so uncoordinated then, such a contrast to the Anna who's here with me now, following my lead perfectly and enjoying herself. The band segues into You Don't Know Me. It's slower, it's melancholy, it's bittersweet. It's a warning. Anna, you don't know me. And as I hold her and we sway together, I silently beg her forgiveness for a sin she knows nothing about, for something she must never know about. She doesn't know me. Baby, I'm sorry. I inhale her scent, and it offers me some solace. Closing my eyes, I commit it to my memory so I'll always be able to recall it once she's gone. Anna. The song finishes and she gives me a winsome smile.
I need to go to the restroom, she says. I won't be long.
Okay. I watch her leave with Taylor following and note the other three security officers standing at the edges of the dance floor. One of them peels off to trail after Taylor. I spot Dr. Flynn talking with his wife. John?
Hello again, Christian. You've met my wife, Rian.
Of course, Rian, I say as we shake hands.
Your parents know how to throw a party, she says.
That they do, I respond.
If you'll excuse me, I'm going to run to the powder room. John, behave,
she warns, and I have to laugh. She knows me well. Flynn remarks dryly. So what the fuck was all that about? I ask. Are you having some fun at my expense? Definitely at your expense. I love to see you parted with your money. You're lucky that she's worth every single penny. I had to do something to make you see that you're not afraid of commitment. Flynn shrugs. That was the reason you bid against me? To test me? It's not my lack of commitment that scares me. I give him a bleak look. She seems well equipped to deal with you, he says. I'm not so sure. Christian, just tell her. She knows you have issues. It's not because of anything I've said. He holds his hands up. And this isn't really the time or the place to have this discussion. You're right. Where is she? Flynn glances around. Powder room. She's a lovely young woman. I nod in agreement. Have some faith, he says. Mr. Gray? We're interrupted by Reynolds from the security team. What is it? I ask him. Could I have a private word? You can speak freely, I answer. This is my shrink, for fuck's sake. Taylor wanted you to know that Elena Lincoln is talking to Miss Steele. Shit. Go, says Flynn. And from the look he gives me, I know he'd like to be a fly on the wall for that conversation. Leaders, I mutter, and follow Reynolds to the pavilion. Taylor is standing by the tented doorway. Beyond him, inside the large tent, Anna and Elena are in a tense discussion. Anna suddenly whirls around and storms toward me. There you are, I say, trying to gauge her mood when she reaches us. She completely ignores me and brushes past both Taylor and me. This is not good. I give Taylor a quick look, but he remains impassive. Anna! I call, and hurry to catch up with her. What's wrong?
Why don't you ask your ex?
She seethes. She's furious. I check to make sure that no one is in listening distance. I'm asking you, I persist. She glares at me. What the hell have I done? She squares her shoulders.
She's threatening to come after me if I hurt you again, probably with a whip.
She snarls. And I don't know if she's being intentionally funny, but the image of Elena threatening Anna with a riding crop is ridiculous. Surely the irony of that isn't lost on you. I tease Anna in an attempt to lighten her mood.
This isn't funny, Christian,
she snaps. No, you're right. I'll talk to her.
You will do no such thing.
She crosses her arms. What the hell am I supposed to do?
Look, she says. I know you're tied up with her financially, forgive the pun, but...
She stops and huffs because she seems at a sudden loss for words.
I need the restroom,
she growls. Anna is pissed. Again. I sigh. What can I do? Please don't be mad, I urge. I didn't know she was here. She said she wasn't coming. I reach up and Anna lets me run my thumb across her bottom lip. Don't let Elena ruin our evening, please, Anastasia. She's really old news. I tip her chin up and plant a gentle kiss on her lips. She relents with a sigh and I think our fight is over. I take her elbow. I'll accompany you to the powder room so you don't get interrupted again. I fish out my phone as I wait for her outside the portable luxury restrooms that my mother has rented for the event. There's an email from Dr. Green saying she can see Anna tomorrow. Good. I'll deal with that later. I punch Elena's number into my phone and walk several steps away to a quiet corner of the backyard. She answers on the first ring. Christian. Elena, what the hell are you doing? That girl is unpleasant and rude. Well, maybe you should leave her alone.
I thought I should introduce myself, Elena says.
What for? I thought you said you weren't coming. Why did you change your mind? I thought we'd agreed.
Your mother called and begged me to come, and I was curious about Anastasia. I need to know she's not going to hurt you again.
Well, leave her alone. This is the first regular relationship I've ever had, and I don't want you jeopardizing it through some misplaced concern for me. Leave her alone.
Chris,
I mean it, Elena.
Have you turned your back on who you are?
She asks. No, of course not. I look up and Anna is watching me. I have to go. Good night. I hang up on Elena, probably for the first time in my life. Anna raises a brow.
How's the old news?
Cranky. I decide a change of subject is for the best. Do you want to dance some more, or would you like to go? I check my watch. The fireworks start in 5 minutes.
I love fireworks,
she says, and I know she's being conciliatory. We'll stay and watch them then. I fold her in my arms and pull her close.
Don't let her come between us, please. She cares about you,
Anna says. Yes, and I her, as a friend.
I think it's more than a friendship to her.
Anastasia, Elena and I stop. What can I tell Anna to reassure her? It's complicated. We have a shared history. But it is just that, history. As I've said to you time and time again, she's a good friend, that's all. Please forget about her. I kiss her hair and she says no more. I take her hand and we wander back to the dance floor. Anastasia, my father says in his smooth tone. He's standing behind us. I wondered if you'd do me the honor of the next dance. Carrick holds his hand out to her. I give him a smile and watch him lead my date onto the dance floor as the band starts Come Fly With Me. They're soon enjoying a spirited conversation and I wonder again if it's about me.
Hello, darling.
My mother sidles up to me, holding a glass of champagne. Mother, what were you trying to say? I ask without any preamble.
Christian, I...
She stops and looks anxiously at me, and I know she's prevaricating. She never likes to give bad news. My anxiety level rises. Grace, tell me.
I spoke with Elena. She told me that you and Anna had split up and that you were heartbroken.
What?
Why didn't you tell me?
She continues.
I know you run a business together, but I was upset hearing it from her.
Elena is exaggerating. I wasn't heartbroken. We had a falling out. That's all. I didn't tell you because it was temporary. It's fine now.
I hate to think of you being hurt, darling. I hope she's with you for the right reasons.
Who, Anna? What are you implying, Mother?
You're a wealthy man, Christian.
You think she's a gold digger? And it's like she struck me. Fuck.
No, that's not what I said.
Mom, she's not like that at all. I'm trying not to lose my temper.
I hope so, darling. I'm just watching out for you. Be careful. Most young people experience heartbreak during their adolescence.
She gives me a knowing look. Oh, please, my heart was broken way, way before I hit puberty.
Darling, you know we only want you happy. And I have to say, on the evidence of this evening, I've never seen you happier.
Yeah. Mother, I appreciate the concern, but it's all good. I almost cross my fingers behind my back. Now I'm going to rescue my gold-digging girlfriend from the clutches of my father. My voice is arctic.
Christian!
My mother tries to call me back, but frankly she can fuck off. How dare she think that of Anna? And why the hell is Elena gossiping about me and Anna to Grace? That's enough dancing with old men, I announce to Anna and my dad. Carrick laughs. Less of the old, son. I've been known to have my moments. He winks at Anna and swaggers away to join his distressed-looking wife. I think my dad likes you, I mutter, feeling murderous.
What's not to like?
Anna says with a coy smile. Good point well made, Miss Steele. I pull her into an embrace as the band starts to play It Had to Be You. Dance with me. My voice is low and husky.
With pleasure, Mr. Gray,
she replies. We dance, and my thoughts of gold diggers, overanxious parents, and interfering ex-doms are forgotten. Sunday, June 12th, 2011. At midnight, the MC declares that we can remove our masks. We stand on the banks of the bay and watch the astonishing fireworks display, Anna in front of me, cloaked in my arms. Her face is lit by a kaleidoscope of colors as the fireworks explode in the sky above us. She marvels at each dazzling burst, a huge grin on her face. The display is perfectly timed to the music. Handel's Zadok, the priest. It's stirring. My parents have gone overboard for their guests, and it makes me feel a little less annoyed with them. The final volley of rockets bursts into golden stars that light up the bay. The crowd spontaneously applauds as sparks rain down from the sky, illuminating the black water. It's spectacular.
Ladies and gentlemen, the MC calls out as the cheers and whistles fade. Just one note to add at the end of this wonderful evening. Your generosity has raised a total of $1,853,000. The news is met with rousing cheers from the crowd. It's an impressive total. I imagine my mother has been busy all evening extracting money from her wealthy friends and guests. My contribution of $600,000 has helped. The applause is deafening, and on the pontoon where the fireworks technicians have been busy, the words, thank you from coping together, light up in silver sparklers and shimmer over the dark mirror of the bay.
Oh, Christian, that was wonderful,
Anna exclaims, and I kiss her. I suggest to her that it's time to go. I can't wait to get home and curl up with her. It's been a long day. I'm hoping that I don't need to persuade her to stay the night. For a start, Leela is still at large. Also, in spite of everything, I've enjoyed today, and I want more. I want her to stay through Sunday, and maybe next week, too. Tomorrow, Anna can see Dr. Green, and depending on the weather, we could either go soaring or go sailing. I could show her the grace. Spending more time with Anna is appealing. Very appealing. Taylor approaches, shaking his head, and I know he wants us to stay put until the crowd disperses. He's been vigilant all evening and must be exhausted. I follow his direction and ask Anna to wait with me. So, Aspen? I ask, to divert her.
Oh, I haven't paid for my bid, she says.
You can send a check. I have the address.
You were really mad.
Yes, I was.
I blame you and your toys.
You were quite overcome, Miss Steele. A most satisfactory outcome, if I recall. Incidentally, where are they?
The silver balls? In my bag?
I'd like them back. They are far too potent a device to be left in your innocent hands.
Worried I might be quite overcome again, maybe with somebody else?
She says, with a wicked gleam in her eye. Anna, don't tease me about these things. I hope that's not going to happen. But no, Anna, I want all your pleasure. Always.
Don't you trust me?
She asks. Implicitly. Now can I have them back?
I'll think about it.
Miss Steele is playing hardball. In the distance, the DJ has started his set. Do you want to dance? I ask.
I'm really tired, Christian. I'd like to go, if that's okay.
I motion to Taylor. He nods and talks into his sleeve microphone to the other security personnel, and we make our way across the lawn. Mia gallops toward us with her shoes in hand.
You're not going, are you? The real music's just beginning. Come on, Anna.
She grabs Anna's free hand. Mia, Anastasia's tired. We're going home. Besides, we have a big day tomorrow. Anna looks at me in surprise. Mia pouts because she's not getting her way, but she doesn't push it.
You must come by sometime next week. Maybe we can hit them all? Sure, Mia.
Anna replies, and I hear the fatigue in her voice. I must get her home. Mia kisses Anna goodbye, then grabs me and hugs me hard. Her face shines as she stares up at me.
I like seeing you this happy,
she says, and she kisses me on the cheek.
Bye. You guys have fun.
She runs off to her waiting friends who start making their way to the dance floor. My parents are nearby, and I'm now feeling guilty about the outburst with my mother. We'll say goodnight to my parents before we leave. Come. We stroll toward them. Grace's face lights up when she sees us. Reaching up, she touches my face, and I try not to scowl at her. She smiles.
Thank you for coming and bringing Anastasia. It was wonderful watching the two of you together.
Thanks for a great evening, Mom. I manage. I don't want to bring up our earlier conversation in front of Anna. Good night, son. Anna, says Carrick.
Please do come again, Anastasia. It's been lovely having you here.
Grace enthuses. She seems sincere, and the sting of her gold digger comment begins to fade. Perhaps she is just looking out for me. But they don't know Anna at all. She's the least acquisitive woman I've ever met. We walk around to the front of the house. Anna runs her hands up and down her arms. Are you warm enough? I ask.
Yes, thank you.
I really enjoyed this evening, Anastasia. Thank you.
Me too. Some parts more than others.
And clearly she's thinking about our tryst in my childhood bedroom. Don't bite your lip, I warn.
What did you mean about a big day tomorrow?
She asks. I tell her that Dr. Green will make a house call and that I have a surprise for her.
Dr. Green?
Yes.
Why?
Because I hate condoms.
It's my body,
she grumbles. It's mine too, I whisper. Anna, please, I hate them. Her eyes shine in the soft glow of paper lanterns that are strung up over the front yard, and I wonder if she's going to continue this argument. She raises her hand and I still. She tugs the corner of my bow tie and it unravels. With gentle fingers, she undoes the top button of my shirt. Fascinated, I watch her and stay rooted to the ground.
You look hot like this,
she says quietly, surprising me. I think she's moved on from Dr. Green. I need to get you home. Come. The Q7 pulls up and the valet gets out and gives the keys to Taylor. One of our security guys, Sawyer, hands me an envelope. It's addressed to Anna. Where did this come from? I ask him.
One of the servers gave it to me, sir.
Is it from an admirer? The handwriting seems familiar. Taylor ushers Anna into the car and I slide in beside her, handing her the note. It's addressed to you. One of the staff gave it to Sawyer. No doubt from yet another ensnared heart. Taylor follows the line of cars out of my parents' driveway. Anna rips the envelope open and casts her eyes over the note inside.
You told her?
She exclaims. Told who what?
Did I call her Mrs. Robinson?
It's from Elena? This is ridiculous. I told Elena to leave Anna alone. Why is she ignoring me? And what has she said to Anna? What the hell is her problem? I'll deal with her tomorrow. Or Monday. I want to read the note, but Anna doesn't give me the opportunity. She stuffs it in her purse, but fishes out the Kegel balls.
Until next time, she says, handing them back to me.
Next time. Now that is good news. I squeeze her hand and she returns the gesture as she stares out of the window into the darkness. Midway across the 520 bridge, she's asleep. I take a moment to relax. So much has happened today. I'm tired, so I put my head back and close my eyes. Yeah, it's been quite a day. Anna and the check. Her bad temper. Her willfulness. The lipstick. The sex. Yes. The sex. And of course I will have to deal with my mother's anxiety and her offensive concern that Anna is an opportunist who's after my fortune. And then there's Elena, interfering, behaving badly. What the hell am I going to do about her? I look at my image reflected in the car window. The sallow, ghoulish figure stares back at me and disappears, only when we exit I-5 onto a well-lit Stewart Street. We are close to home. Anna is still asleep when we pull up outside. Sawyer jumps out of the car and opens my door. Do I need to carry you in? I ask Anna, squeezing her hand. She wakes and sleepily shakes her head. With Sawyer in front of us, keeping vigil, we walk into the building together as Taylor takes the car into the garage. Anna leans on me in the elevator and closes her eyes. It's been a long day, eh, Anastasia? She nods. Tired? She nods. You're not very talkative, I observe. She nods once more, making me smile. Come, I'll put you to bed. My fingers curl around hers and we follow Sawyer out of the elevator and into the foyer. Sawyer halts in front of us and holds up his hand. I tighten my grip on Anna's fingers. What the hell?
We'll do tea, Sawyer says and turns to face us. Mr. Gray, the tires on Ms. Steele's Audi have been slashed and paint thrown all over it.
Anna gasps. What? My immediate thought is that some mindless vandal has broken into the garage. Then I remember Leela. What the hell has she done?
Sawyer continues. Taylor is concerned that the perp may have entered the apartment and may still be there. He wants to make sure.
How can anyone be in the apartment?
I see. What's Taylor's plan? He's coming up in the service elevator with Ryan and Reynolds. They'll do a sweep, then give us the all clear.
I'm to wait with you, sir.
Thank you, Sawyer.
I tighten my hold on Anna. This day just gets better and better. There's no way Leela could be in the apartment. Is there? And I recall those moments when I thought I saw something move at the periphery of my vision, and when I woke because I thought someone had ruffled my hair, only to find Anna fast asleep beside me. A shiver of doubt runs down my spine. Shit. If Leela's here, I need to know. I don't think she'll hurt me. I kiss Anna's hair. Listen, I can't stand here and wait.
Sawyer, take care of Miss Steele. Don't let her in until you have the all clear. I'm sure Taylor is overreacting. She can't get into the apartment.
No, Christian.
Anna tries to stop me, her fingers clasping my lapels.
You have to stay with me.
Do as you're told, Anastasia. Wait here. I sound sterner than I mean to, and she releases me. Sawyer? He's standing in my way, uncertain. I raise a brow, and after a moment's hesitation, he opens the double doors into the apartment and lets me go through. He closes them behind me. In the hallway outside the living room, it's dark and quiet. I stand and listen, straining my ears for anything unusual. All I hear is the sigh of the wind as it wraps itself around the building and the hum of the electrical appliances from the kitchen. Far below in the street, there's a police siren, but apart from that, Escala is still and quiet, as it should be. If Leela were here, where would she go? My first thought is the playroom, and I'm about to dash upstairs when there's a rumble and a ping from the service elevator, and Taylor and the two other security guys spill out into the corridor wielding guns as if they're in some macho action movie. Are those strictly necessary? I ask Taylor, who's leading the charge.
We're taking the necessary precautions, sir.
I don't think she's here. We'll do a quick sweep.
Okay, I reply, resigned. I'll check upstairs. I'll come with you, Mr. Gray.
I suspect that Taylor is being unduly concerned for my safety. He issues swift instructions to the other two, and they scatter to search the apartment. I switch on all the lights so that the living room and corridor are well lit and bright, and I head upstairs with Taylor. He's thorough. He checks under the four-poster bed, the table, and even the couch in the playroom. He does the same in the subs room and in each of the spare rooms. No sign of any intruder. He proceeds into his and Mrs. Jones's quarters, and I head downstairs. My bathroom and walk-in closet are clear, as is my bedroom. Standing in the middle of the room, I feel like a fool, but I squat down and check under the bed. Nothing. Not even dust. Mrs. Jones is doing a stellar job. The balcony door is locked, but I open it. Outside, the breeze is cool and the city is laid out, dark and somber, at my feet. There's the hum of distant traffic and the faint moan of the wind, but that's it. Inside again, I lock the door. Taylor comes back downstairs.
She's not here, he says.
You think it's Leela?
Yes, sir.
His mouth forms a hard, flat line.
Do you mind if I search your room?
Though I've already done this, I'm too tired to argue.
Sure.
I want to check all the closets and cupboards, sir, he says.
Fine.
I shake my head at the preposterous situation we're in, and I open the foyer doors to find Anna. Sawyer brandishes his gun, but lowers it when he sees it's me.
All clear, I tell him.
He holsters his pistol and stands aside. Taylor is overreacting, I say to Anna. She looks exhausted, and she doesn't move. She just stares at me pale-faced, and I realize she's scared.
It's all right, baby.
I fold her in my arms and kiss her hair.
Come on, you're tired. Bed.
I was so worried, she says.
I know, we're all jumpy.
Sawyer has disappeared, presumably into the apartment.
Honestly, your exes are proving to be very challenging, Mr. Gray,
she asserts.
Yes, they are.
They really are. I lead her into the living room. Taylor and his crew are checking all the closets and cupboards.
I don't think she's here. Why would she be here?
Anna sounds bewildered, and I reassure her that Taylor is thorough and that we've searched everywhere, including the playroom. To calm her, I offer her a drink, but she declines. She's tired.
Come, let me put you to bed. You look exhausted.
In my bedroom, she empties the contents of her evening bag on top of the chest of drawers.
Here.
She passes Eleanor's note to me.
I don't know if you want to read this. I want to ignore it.
I scan the note.
Anastasia, I may have misjudged you, and you have definitely misjudged me.
Call me if you need to fill in any of the blanks. We could have lunch. Christian doesn't want me talking to you, but I would be more than happy to help. Don't get me wrong, I approve, believe me. But so help me if you hurt him. He's been hurt enough. Call me. 206-279-6261. Mrs. Robinson.
It provokes my temper. Is this one of Elena's games? I'm not sure what blanks she can fill in. I put the note in my pants pocket. I need to talk to Taylor. Let me unzip your dress.
Are you going to call the police about the car?
She asks as she turns around. I move her hair out of the way and pull down the zipper. No, I don't want the police involved. Leela needs help, not police intervention, and I don't want them here. We just have to double our efforts to find her. I kiss her shoulder. Go to bed. In the kitchen, I pour myself a glass of water. What the hell is going on? My world seems to be imploding. Just when I'm beginning to get back on track with Anna, my past is coming back to haunt me. Leela and Elena. I wonder for a moment if they might be colluding with each other, but then I realize that I'm being paranoid. What an absurd notion. Elena is not that crazy. I rub my face. Why would Leela be targeting me? Is it jealousy? She wanted more. I didn't. But I would have been happy to continue our relationship as it was. She was the one who ended it.
Master, may I speak freely?
Leela says. She's sitting at my right at the dinner table, wearing a fetching lacy La Perla one-piece. Of course.
I have developed feelings for you. I had hoped you would collar me and that I would stay by your side forevermore.
Collar? Forevermore? I think to myself, what's this once-upon-a-time bullshit?
But I think that is beyond my dreams.
She continues. Leela, you know that's not for me. We've discussed this.
But you're lonely. I can see it.
Lonely? Me? I don't feel that way. I have my work, my family. I have you.
But I want more, Master.
I can't give you more. You know this.
I see.
She raises her face to look at me, her amber eyes scrutinizing me. She's broken the fourth wall. She has never looked at me without permission. But I don't scold her. I can't. It's not within me. I've always been honest with her. This is nothing that she doesn't know.
It is within you, sir, but maybe I'm not the person to make you realize it.
She sounds sad. She looks back down at her clean plate.
I'd like to terminate our relationship.
She's caught me by surprise. Are you sure? Leela, this is a big step. I'd like to continue our arrangement.
I can't do this anymore, Master.
Her voice cracks on the last word, and I don't know what to say.
I can't,
she whispers, clearing her throat. Leela. I stop, bewildered by the emotion I hear in her voice. She's been an impeccable sub. I thought we were compatible. I'll be sorry to see you go, I say, because it's true. I've really enjoyed our time together. I hope you have too.
I'll be sorry too, sir. I've more than enjoyed everything. I had hoped.
Her voice trails off and she gives me a sad smile. I wish I felt differently. But I don't. I have no need of a permanent relationship.
You've never given me any indication that you would.
Her voice is quiet. I'm sorry. You're right. Let's end this as you wish. It's for the best, especially if you've developed feelings for me. Taylor and the security team arrive back in the kitchen. There's no sign of Leela in the apartment, sir, Taylor says. I didn't think there would be, but I appreciate you checking. Thanks. We're going to monitor the cameras in turn. Ryan first, Sawyer and Reynolds are going to sleep. Good.
As you should. Yes, Mr. Gray. Gentlemen. Taylor dismisses the three men. Good night. Once they've left, Taylor turns to me. The car's a mess, sir. Right off? I think so. She's done a real number on it. That's if it's Leela. I'll speak to the building security in the morning and check their CCTV. Do you want to involve the police? Not yet. Okay. Taylor nods. I'll need to get Anna another car. Can you talk to Audi tomorrow? Yes, sir. I'll have the wreck collected in the morning. Thanks. Is there anything else, Mr. Gray? No. Thanks. Get some rest. Good night, sir. Good night. Taylor leaves and I head into my study. I'm wired. I can't possibly sleep. I contemplate calling Welch just to keep him up to date, but it is too late. Slipping off my jacket, I hang it on my chair, then sit down at my computer and write him an email. As I press send, my phone buzzes. Elena Lincoln's name flashes up on the screen. What now? I answer. What do you think you're doing?
Christian.
She's surprised. I don't know why you're calling at this hour. I have nothing to say to you. She sighs.
I just wanted to tell you.
She stops and changes tack.
I was hoping to leave a message.
Well, you can tell me now. You don't have to leave a message. I'm finding it impossible to keep my composure.
You're angry, I can tell. If it's about the note, listen.
No, you listen. I asked you, and now I am telling you. Leave her alone. She has nothing to do with you. Do you understand?
Christian, I only have your best interests at heart.
I know you do, but I mean it, Elena. Leave her the fuck alone. Do I need to put it in triplicate for you? Are you hearing me?
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry.
I've never heard her so contrite. It goes some way to cooling my anger. Good. Good night. I slam my phone down on the desk. Interfering woman. I put my head in my hands. I'm so fucking tired. There's a knock on my door.